It sure is good to be back again and to see so many old friends and meet new ones. I want to welcome you all to Sunday service. It's a glorious day, and it's wonderful to feel the Ananda Palo Alto energy again. The music is just so blissful. Thank you. My name is Nayaswami Bharat, and I'm from the village in Northern California. Henry David Thoreau said that knowledge does not come to us in details, but in flashes of light from heaven. There's a beautiful story of a devotee of Swami Ramatirtha, and he was traveling in the United States, and she was an elderly woman, and she had a difficult family, and she was pouring out her grief and all her troubles to Swami Ramatirtha, and he was just sitting there cross-legged, just silent, with his eyes closed. And so she kept pouring it on more and more and more, all her woes. And he didn't say a word, didn't even look at her. And she thought, this arrogant Indian man, he's a gentleman, doesn't keep his eyes closed and doesn't keep his mouth shut when the lady is in distress. And she finally sort of spent herself and had no more to say. And then that's when he opened his eyes and he said, "Mother, mother," and then he chanted Om several times. And all of a sudden, she felt that she was the mother of the universe. Om just reverberated through her body and her bones, and she was just filled with such bliss that it never left her. And, you know, we have the choice. We can ask God to solve our little problems. Yogananda said that people say, "God, God, come to me, come to me, come down here where I am." And he goes, "Why would God want to come down there? It's a lot nicer up here." And the intellect needs to be purified by love and instructed by silence. The calmer we are, the more we understand life, the more that the whole universe is reflected in ourselves, and that we get beyond opposites, and everything truly is our friend, because we really feel united with life. There's a beautiful story that some firefighters told. It was a tremendous fire, and had gone through and burned a national forest, and they were walking through the ashes a couple of days afterwards, looking for wildlife that might still have survived, might need help. And they came close to a tree, and they saw just the form of a bird, but it was all ashes and its wings outstretched. And as they came closer and looked, they heard some baby birds chirping. And it was a mother that had given her life in that intense fire to save her young. And it's such an inspiring story. And we all know the beauty of sacrifice, of really offering our little self up so that to a greater good, to a greater reality. And we can't progress, as the reading said, without that kind of love, because we won't leave our own habits, our own self behind. We'll just stay happily content as much as we can stay contented with a very limited consciousness. But it takes that great zeal, that great drive to experience something more, to give ourselves into that light. I have a friend who was visiting Ananda Village. She was involved with the Sharing Nature in Brazil. And she was a yogini, not of our path. And she had spending the night in the meadow at the Expanding Light up at Ananda Village. And she had just a two-person tent. And while she was sleeping, she had a vision of Master. And he was smiling at her. She knew who Master was because she'd seen the autobiography and hadn't read anything of Master, but knew that he was our guru, the Ananda's guru, and Master just smiled at her with such deep, intense eyes, and he said one word to her, and she I didn't know this had happened, actually. And then about 9 months later, I was teaching in the university town where she was a graduate student. And she took this word to heart and just lived it fully. And when I was there, all the her professors raved about Roberta, that was her name, and how, her energy, and all the grad students just remarked about how she had helped transform the department at the university. And then as we were driving back from the program, she told me about her vision of Yogananda. And she said, he told me one word, and can you guess what word that he said? Well, maybe some of you have read this story, but there could have been a lot of things that Yogananda said, but the word that he said was give. And that was the word that she lived by. Swami Kriyananda says that we don't live at Ananda, we give at Ananda. And this is how we become greater, because we're willing to not focus on ourselves, but to expand our reality and the reality of everybody around us and in all things. I love it. Swami Kriyananda was talking about a discipleship. Discipleship isn't narrowing. Discipleship opens you to all of life. You could be open to a tree, open to a flower. I was getting in the elevator with Swami Kriyananda in the Delhi area, and he just looked at me and he said that when I was 5 years old, I would see a bright color and it would send me into ecstasy. Talk about openness. I mean, this is how we all want to be, is to really experience life fully and not just the little dribbles that come our way. There's a beautiful story of a king, and he had a grand party. And he brought out all the wealth of his kingdom and set it out on display so that all the visitors could see the riches of the kingdom. And everybody was gathered. There was a lot of excitement and looking at the paintings and all the jewels, and they weren't locked up. And then the king said that everyone tonight can take part of my treasure home. Well, you can imagine the excitement. And people just rushed off, and they found these paintings, and one man said, boy, these paintings are light. I can carry a lot of these home, and these are really rare. And then other people took the jewels, and there was a little 7-year-old girl sitting at the feet of the king. And she just watched everybody running back and forth in the great delight and glee that they had, and even some of the tussles that were going on over some of the objects. And then she stood up, and she always had liked to sit at the king and just be close to him. Well, she stood up, and she didn't look around the room. What she did is she reached out with both her hands, and she grabbed the king's hands and said, I take you, my king. Well, everybody else had little treasures of the kingdom, but maybe those treasures were stolen, or maybe after a while they put them away and didn't look at them anymore. But this young girl, she inherited a whole kingdom of bliss because she took the king herself. And this is really what devotion is that it's, as the reading said, it's fixity of purpose. In the scriptures it says, as the magnet points in a true direction, as the vine clings to the tree, as the river merges in the ocean, when our thoughts are just totally riveted on God and just absorbed in God, then God knows that we really want him. There's no other reason for him to withhold himself from us. There was a woman that recently, she was going through a lot of challenges, and she wrote a letter to Swami Kriyananda, and she showed my wife Anandi the letter. And this woman, she said in her letter that from her experience, that all Ananda people, they experience light and joy every day and probably every moment of their lives. And, you know, but Swami said, no. I I mean, there is so much joy at Ananda. You just cut it with a knife. There was a woman visitor that she came actually Palo Alto and to the village, and everywhere she went, she would go into a house, she heard Om there. She went into a temple, she heard Om there. Everywhere on the grounds of these two communities, she heard Om, and she said, I think this is Divine Mother's favorite place of retreat because she's everywhere here. But we know that Swami's reply, in case you don't know personally, Swami's reply was that, no, the spiritual path is fraught with dry spells and fear. And we face these things all the time. And I went through a period just health-wise, just coming out of it, that where I had really trouble breathing, and I was I couldn't do Kriya Yoga, which is the technique we use the physical breath to stimulate the astral breath, and it's a way of really interiorizing your energy. And I was sitting in my little temple, and I had to do mental Kriyas, and but my breathing was so bad, I got out of breath doing mental Kriyas. And I just, unfortunately, I kind of dropped my beads and looked at Master and said, Master! And implying that this isn't fair, but it is fair. but I was visiting one of the devotees at the village who was going through a particularly difficult time right now. And he was in a lot of pain, but he was kept rubbing his eyes because he had tears of joy during as I was talking with him. And, you know, how do we get through these difficult periods of time? Well, it's devotion, isn't it? It's because our course is really set, and we're just saying, God, I want you. And we, you know, our karma comes to us. And Master said that the way to overcome karma is to accept it calmly and pleasantly. I want to read some words from Paramahansa Yogananda, because the path does have its ups and downs, and this is a very beautiful passage on how we can work with our energy, with our attunement, with our love. He said, "The greatest thing to remember is even-mindedness. If your enthusiasm runs high one moment and then runs low the next moment, you will find great difficulty in the spiritual path. But if your consciousness is steady and increases in crescendo with slow speed and calm will, you will surely find him at the end of the trail. And you will be so overwhelmed in finding him, you will lose him no more." When we hear about Paramahansa Yogananda talking about what it means to draw God's love, how it has to be total, and we read the lives of saints, it can be a little bit daunting, isn't it, in terms of, you know, we have a great yearning in our heart. It's maybe not constant every moment, but we realize that, you know, someday it'll have to be that. Well, Swami Kriyananda gave some very heartening words. He said that, sure, we can be intimidated by that great zeal of the masters, but when we continue to reach up to God, God will reach down and lift us up and give us the power to love him. It isn't our power anyway. When I first came to Ananda, I asked Swami Kriyananda for some advice for my meditations. And this was all the young guys, young blood, and we were excited about meditation, and it came around time for the 8-hour meditation. And so one of the monks had the idea, well, let's meditate 8 hours before the 8-hour meditation. And Swami Kriyananda said, oh, you guys. But his advice, his advice to me was keep Divine Mother first. And then that night, or a couple nights later, I had a dream. And in this dream, I was riding a bicycle through a grain field. And as I was going along, I saw a falcon come out of the sky and fly parallel with me and was going along with me. And birds, they don't have teeth, but This one had a beautiful smile because it looked over at me like this, and I looked at the falcon, and it was so magnetic, presence of the falcon, and then it flew a little faster. And so I pedaled to keep up with the falcon, and then it looked over at me like this, and I looked like this at the falcon, and then it went faster. And I pedaled even faster to stay up with the falcon. And then it looked as if saying, well, can you do this? And then it just shot forward like this. Well, it's faster than I could pedal, but I found my bicycle just shooting along with a falcon. And then the falcon went up into the sky, and I followed the falcon, and then the dream ended in the sky. And it's, we don't pull the superconscious down to ourselves. We just hold ourselves up in attunement, don't we? And it's the light that we're transformed by the reality of light, by that quality of universal love. And bit by bit, we're absorbed in it, and our consciousness changes. I was going into the Ananda Village mailroom months ago, and there was a little boy there, and every person that would walk in, he would go like this. And everybody would see that little boy with his arms outstretched. And what did everybody do? They picked him up and held him, and he was really happy. Well, when we continually just open up to God and just constantly the prayer of our heart, just saying, I just want you. Like that little girl, she didn't want anything else. She just wanted the king. God has no more reason to withhold himself. Just like Paramahansa Yogananda was with Raji Janakananda, his most advanced disciple. It was just so beautiful to see Yogananda and Rajasi walking like little boys hand in hand, just filled with the bliss of God. And he was just totally open to Yogananda. And there was just no holding back. God, Yogananda said, is seeking us more than we're seeking him. But when he sees that we are, and all of us are, we're really dedicated here, and we've put effort behind our dedication. We put love behind our dedication. And God has responded to us and given this wonderful life. And as Swami Kriyananda said recently, it's just really a matter of time. It's just continuing doing what we're doing. And as Sister Gyanamata said, just more and better. But what makes it more and better, what makes that possible, is that our hearts, aren't they, are just filled with more and more joy. And we realize only God's joy is important. May you ever live in his joy. Bless you.